Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
All who are looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Now, I know that's a lot. Let me just recap it quickly. Here comes Mary and Joseph. They're bringing Jesus into the temple. The temple's a busy place. There's a lot of people. And they're just walking through the crowds, and they're going up to the front, right? They're going to the place where there's these, where they're going to dedicate Jesus, where they're going to bring him for the law, and he's going to be circumcised. And Simeon, brought by the Spirit into the temple. We don't know if Simeon was the one that was supposed to do anything. We don't know if he was the one that Mary and Joseph were looking for, but it says the Spirit told him, brought him to the temple. And when he got there, he saw Jesus, right? And he knew who Jesus was. He knew what his appointment was. He knew he was the Messiah. And he starts telling this to Mary and Joseph. He starts revealing what he knows who Jesus is. And Mary and Joseph are amazed. And then as that's going on, Anna, she walks up and she sees the baby, right? And she starts giving thanks to God because she's been looking for him. She's been waiting for the Messiah, right? So, and Mary and Joseph, they are amazed again. And we move forward. I'm going to jump forward a little bit. It's not on the slides. But when they get to the point where after they have talked about all these things, and even later in life where Jesus is a young boy, right? We're past the temple, and they've gone home, and now they're making a trip back to Jerusalem years and years later, and they find Jesus, a whole long story here, but they find Jesus teaching in the temple. A young boy teaching in the temple and people around him, and they are amazed. They don't even know what's going on. They're looking at him, and it says this, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued to grow in subjection to them, and his mother treasured all of these things within her heart. It says they were amazed. They didn't understand that how could Jesus be teaching? They didn't understand all that was going on, but yet they were faithful, and yet they were searching, and yet they were continuing to move forward in life. So today, I just want to see what I can apply to my own life from Anna. What can I apply to my own life from Simeon? What can you apply today? Not later, and not 20 years from now, but maybe today and tomorrow and this week when you talk to somebody. The first one is, I want you to hear this, that just hearing, right? Hearing is not understanding. Mary and Joseph are prime examples. They heard all of the things about Jesus. I mean, if an angel came into the room right now and spoke to you, don't you think you would fully understand what was being said? I mean, that's what we think, and maybe that's what God hopes, but yet he knows that we have a limited mind. He knows we have a limited understanding. And so that's why he created the body of Christ. That's why he says we are to be together. That's why we are to commune together, to fellowship together, to study together, to take communion together, to live our lives together. And so we can have more understanding. So just hearing it is not understanding it. We need to talk about it. I mean, so sincere from me, if an angel comes to you, you think an angel has spoken to you, come talk to me. I want to not just hear about it, but I want to work it out with you. In a prayer, if you have prayer requests, right, it says to share those so we can pray together. So when I get an answer, I can tell you. When you get an answer, you can tell me. We can work it out. In Scripture, it says, work out your salvation daily. See, this is not just hearing. This is getting into to more than just hearing it. This is getting into more than just having wisdom. This is understanding. How do we carry out our lives? How do we work through all the things that are going on? And we can't do it alone. And if you think you can do it alone, that's a lie. That's a lie from the devil. That's a lie from the enemy who wants to isolate you and wants you to stay by yourself. You need to be in community. And somebody could be watching online. You may be a guest with us today. I'm so glad you're here. But maybe the Lord just wants to get you in the door to get you somewhere else. Okay, I'm not about running off members of our family, but sometimes this is not the best place for you. I've said that to countless people over the years, is I want you to be a part of a family of faith that builds you up. I want you to be a part of a Bible study that builds you up. I want you to be a part of a community of faith that gets you to where God wants you to go. And maybe it's not here. Maybe it is. I just want you to pray through it, and I want you to hear it. What can I apply to my life today that Mary and Joseph received from Anna? I also think that we have to see Anna in a way where we have to know that even while we're seeking, right, and even behind the scenes, Anna, it says she was a prophetess, and she served, she worked day and night in the temple. Okay, I don't know if she lived in the temple. I don't know if they had a room for her. I don't know if she lived on the temple grounds. It says she was always there. It says that she never left, right? And so what does that mean? We know that she wasn't because of the way the hierarchy was structured back in that day. She wasn't in charge, right? She wasn't necessarily teaching and preaching, but she was named as a prophetess. Right? There's only 6 or 7 in all of the Bible that got that name. But she was one of them. She was important. But she worked behind the scenes. Doesn't even say really what she did other than she fasted and she prayed. I don't know what she did. But she worked. She was there. She was faithful. So what does that mean for us? Well, let me tell you about Anna. Anna was from, you won't find this necessarily in Scripture other than just a little bit. You have to know some history. You got to go study history. But Anna was from the tribe of Asher, okay? Asher was a tribe in Israel that was in captivity in Babylon 500 years before and had pretty much become unknown. And they had fallen by the wayside. They had been wiped out. There weren't very many of them. And Anna, though, while she lived in this temple, she was still faithful to God. She was still faithful to the Lord. She was doing what she had been raised to do. She was even named as a daughter of Phinehas, right? And he was a part of the tribe of Asher. So from 500 years... Okay, she wasn't alive 500 years, but that tribe had dwindled down, and so she was a remnant. And she was one of the very unknown because she worked in the background, but even as she was unknown, listen to me, she was seen by God. You may feel unknown in your community. You may feel unknown, unseen in your families. You may feel unknown and unseen at your workplace. In your relationships, in whatever it is. But when you remain faithful to God, when you remain faithful to the Lord, even in the midst of that, you are seen by God Himself. Anna's a perfect example because as she was faithful to Him, the Lord used her. And it sounds like it wasn't an easy life. It sounds like her husband died early in their marriage, and she spent the rest of her life without a husband. She spent the rest of her life in the temple. The other thing about Anna was, you know, if you know anything about the Bible, in those days, if you were a widow, that was a scary thing to be because you were pretty much on your own. And just for all sorts of reasons, they were kind of left out in the cold. But Anna, she didn't care about any of that. She continued to be faithful. She continued to pray. She continued to fast. She continued to do what God called her to do. We get 3 sentences about Anna in all of Scripture, and yet she is one of the most important figures in all of history because she completed the understanding. She gave more knowledge and wisdom to Mary and Joseph for them to grow in Christ, just like the knowledge and wisdom you're getting today to grow in Christ. Luke may have also seen Anna as this idea of a second witness. All throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, God called there to be a second witness in so many situations. So one person would hear something, and then another person needed to come along and corroborate it. Another one needed to come along and reinforce it. Another one needed to come along and prove it to other people. Not just in a court of law, okay? That was in the law of Moses, right? You needed another witness, but also scripturally. And Anna is that. Here comes Mary and Joseph. They got it from the angels. They got it from the shepherds. They got it from the wise men. Here comes Simeon and walks in by the Spirit of God and starts telling them all these things about Jesus. And then here comes Anna reinforcing it. Who is it in your life that you need to be a witness to God in your life? Who is it in your life that you need to have as a witness for your relationships, for your jobs, for your prayers, for how you're going to raise your children, how you're going to find someone to date, how you're going to plan out your life, how you're going to live out your life, for the questions that you have, for what you're seeking in your life, right? I'm just going to tell you, Justin doesn't even know this about himself, but just in praying about, Lord, how are we going to go into the future in our body of Christ? Because here's what I know, is that I'm 54 years old, okay? And this is going to sadden y'all. There's going to be, Dallas, get ready, because there's going to be the gnashing of teeth. There's going to be moaning and wailing. I mean, it's going to be blood, sweat, and tears when I announce this. I'm not going to be around forever. Right? I know. Oh, I got one oh over here. Right? I don't know. 10 more years at the most? How are we going to go forward, right? Who's going to take up the mantle? Who's going to be involved in leadership? You know, and Justin was an answer to that prayer. Joe and Jessica stepping up to teach another Sunday school class right after Easter, that's another answer to prayer, right? Another witness, right? Dallas raising up leaders, Ashley raising up leaders, another witness, another answer to prayer. See, I know that if we don't follow the model that God gives us, then we will follow the model that God gives us, that without vision, the people will perish, right? And so we have to step up. We have to be the second witness. And she was that witness. And so even though she was behind the scenes, she was seen, right? God said, I'm preparing you for not just a day, but for a new era, right? A new time. See, Anna, she was announcing this new era. She was showing, right? She shows up in the temple. Here's Simeon, this male, this man, this icon of the church. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing. And then here comes Anna, a woman, a prophetess, assigned and appointed by God. And she steps up and she starts doing the same thing. Folks, I'm telling you, that was radical. It was just three sentences, but that was radical for the day of Jesus. That was radical for the day of Mary and Joseph. That was radical for the church. And yet, she's saying it's a new day. It's a new time. It's a new era. And let me tell you that God's timing in Anna was perfect. 84 years that she was alive, right? And all those years in the temple, and maybe no one even knew who she was really, except for those that were appointed to be in ministry with her. Maybe just a very few that she had spoken into their life. They had seen her. She had become a fixture, right? All the time. But yet, God's timing was perfect for Anna to step up and to step forward and to proclaim Jesus as the Messiah, giving thanks to God. Anna came up not as a coincidence when Simeon was praising God, when holding Jesus, right, and doing all those things. No, that was her time. That was timing. She'd been looking. I say this in many Christmas sermons and many Easter sermons about, just imagine, here's Mary and Joseph. They have the Messiah, they have the Savior of the world, they have the Son of God, they have baby Jesus, right? They're walking through a crowded temple. Imagine a shopping mall or a concert or after a Texas Tech basketball or football game, and everybody's herding out like cattle, right? And imagine you bump into somebody holding a baby and you're like, oh, how cute, and you keep walking. That's what was happening in the temple. That what was happening as the Messiah is coming into the world to save us, to save all of Israel. They were all hoping for it, and yet only Simeon and then Anna recognized it. See, that's God's perfect timing. That's God said she never left the temple worshiping night and day, fasting and praying. She was there waiting. And when it happened, she was ready. When it happened, she was alert. She was a servant. She didn't get in the way of the Lord, right? This didn't happen. Simeon's like, oh, look, here's the Messiah. Here's the one that's going to be the rising and the falling of many nations and many people. And a sword is not just going to pierce your heart, but it's going to do this. It's going to do this. Anna didn't walk up and go, no, you don't know what you're talking about. See, it can't be that this is the baby that's going to save the world because, there's no royalty here. He was born in a stable. He was born in a manger. There was no fanfare. There were no trumpets. He's 8 days old. He goes, we can't proclaim him the Savior of the world now. We have to wait till he's 13 or 14, or we have to wait till he's an adult for him to make his own choices. Let's argue theology here, right? No, she didn't say any of that. She didn't come in and try to argue that that since there was no royalty, that he wasn't from the right lineage. They didn't go through his genealogy and figure out that he was from the house of the line of the king of David. Right? She didn't say, we need to check scripture and we need to check prophecy here. We need to look. No, she just came in and did her part. She just came in and did what God told her to do. She came in and she proclaimed what had already been revealed to her. That's where we need to be, right? She's among the first to continue to proclaim Jesus. To continue. See, that's where we are today. Because of Anna and because of Simeon, you get to continue proclaiming Jesus. So my question is, are you ready for that? Are you in a place in your life where God has you for you to start doing that? And now, this is not that you have to know all of theology. It's not that you have to know all of the rules and the regulations that we think that we have put in place in the church. No, it's just to tell your story of how Jesus has changed your life. It's just, that's all Anna had. That's all Simeon had. They didn't have Mary and Joseph's story, right? They didn't know that the angel Gabriel had come. They didn't know that Joseph had an angel show up in a dream. They didn't know maybe that the shepherds had shown up. They didn't know that the wise men were on their way. They told their part. They told their revelation. They told their story. You can do that. Whatever kids are left in the room, you can do that. That's all Anna is saying, is just do what you're supposed to do. And I love this, is that Anna teaches us that willingness, right? Willingness and obedience, that's what leads to revelation. Willingness and obedience lead to the revelation. She was willing to do what God had her to do day after day after day after day. You think she got bored with that? Maybe. I don't know. Right? Anybody bored with your job every once in a while? Well, I'm going to be the only sinner in the room, and I'm the preacher. Right? We do, but yet she kept doing it, and she was willing to do it. And then when the time came, she was willing to step up. She knew what she was made for. She knew what she was being prepared for. And when it happened, she stood up and she did what she was called to do. What can I apply in my life from this story of Anna's encounter with Mary and Joseph is I need to be willing and I need to be obedient. Listen to what this guy's name is J.B. Polehill. He's a biblical commentator. And he says this. He says, yes, the Messiah has arrived. Simeon recognized, but as the prophetess Anna suggests, there's a new era that is coming into the world with a new and living voice of prophecy that the time had dawned. In this new era, the living voice of God will continue to speak about the Messianic one. Anna is the first in a line of people that will speak about Jesus. You're it. And I know we want to say, no, we're talking about the disciples. We're talking about the apostles. We're talking about preachers. We're talking about rabbis. We're talking about Sunday school leaders. We're talking about whatever. No, he's talking about you. He's talking about me. He's talking about all of us. And then here's what's really great, okay, is that Anna, while she is described as one of the prophetesses of the Bible, one of the six or seven that are actually named from that, it also says that the women in general, right, women in general were more apt to share about Jesus and God. Why is that? Why are the men so stubborn? Anybody want to chime in? Ladies? Right? Why are we so stubborn? Why do we push against change? Because after this started happening, you know who pushed against the change? All the male leaders of the church. All the male leaders of the temple. They heard all this. They started seeing all this. Jesus started changing everything. The disciples were listening to Jesus and the prayers and the miracles that were happening. And they said, this is it. Things are changing. And they said, no, we have to keep it the same. Why is it that the men are the ones that want to keep it the same and the women are more open to the Spirit? Anna's a prime example. Anna says, I know this is not what I'm supposed to be doing, but this is what God's calling us to do. Amen. Thank you for the women. Because if not, I don't know where we would be. Are you willing to join Anna? Are you willing to join Simeon? Are you willing to join Priscilla? Are you willing to join Luke? Are you willing to join Lydia? Are you willing to join those that have been called to be the disciples? And a disciple really is just somebody that's willing to follow Jesus. Because here's the last thing. Here's what we'll end today, is that revelation comes to the ones who are receptive. Obedient, willing, right? I can be obedient. I can listen to God. And I can be willing and I can say, I'll do whatever you call me to do. But then when it comes, am I receptive? It's this easy. When the phone rings, are you going to answer? Right? When God calls, are you going to answer? Because that's how it happens. I can say all day long, I can sit by the phone and wait for a phone call to come. But when it comes and I don't answer, if I don't receive it, it does no good. If I'm willing to volunteer to answer the call, but yet I don't ever answer it, what good does it do? Not just you, what good does it do the kingdom? What good does it do for anybody else? And it's hard because that means there's change. Answering the call means there's change in your life, in my life, in everybody's life. Most of y'all know that our daughter is 20 and she's off now and she lives in another city and she has a job and she's trying to figure out life and she's learning and she's doing a good job of it. And but I saw a Facebook post this morning from another family, and they're off visiting colleges themselves, trying to figure out what their child is going to do in the future. And they said, I'm not ready for this season. It's hard. Change is hard. Amen? Y'all are looking at me like I'm an idiot up here, and I really can't even see you very well. Right? Change is hard. And not just that change, every change. How many of y'all like buying a new pair of shoes after you got the other ones broken in after 12 or 13 years, right? I have shoes older than my daughter that I don't want to get rid of. Right? Because we don't like new things sometimes. We like the prettiness of them. We like the shininess of them. But man, having to get used to it is different. Having to get used to what God is doing is different. And sometimes, this is where the rubber meets the road. In Acts chapter 2, verse 46 through 47, it says this. This is after, I mean, this is Jesus, and Jesus has done his thing, right? He's been on earth. He's been crucified. He's been resurrected. He's ascended into heaven. The Holy Spirit has come. And it says this. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread together from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number. Day by day, those were being saved. What does it mean to be of one mind in the temple and in the houses and breaking bread together? That one mind is commonly used to talk about one heart, right? That they were like-minded. And it's great when we are like-minded and we agree. Amen? Oh, y'all don't like agreement? Gosh, I'm the only one. Well, let me tell you about that like-mindedness. See, the like-mindedness only works when we're following God. Doesn't mean we have the same opinion. Doesn't mean that we have the same idea. It means that we're willing to submit to one another the plan that God has laid out before us. And that's why we need one another. That's why they needed Anna. That's why they needed Simeon. That's why they needed their friends and their families. That's why they needed each other. Because the same word that used for like mind there that sounds all great, it says that when the religious leaders and the people in the community got together and they stoned Stephen for following Jesus, they were of like mind. They were together. They had the same heart. They had the same mind. They were the old guard of the old church, of the old way that they thought everything should always have to be done. And yet, when Jesus came and he said, we need to change some things, they killed the guy. Oh, by the way, they also killed the guy, Jesus. See, that's the same like mind. That's the same single-mindedness. From the Christian community, like-mindedness is only good when we're in communion with one another, when we're in fellowship with one another. That's why Anna stayed there night and day. That's why Simeon was filled by the Spirit and called into the temple, because he was in fellowship with the Lord night and day. They were of the same mind. Sincerity sometimes gives way to our own ideas, and that's when we're not of the same mind as God, and that's where we have to be careful. So I want you to think about where you are in life today. Is this your picture of Jesus? I have to be careful, by the way. I mean, I 100% honest, 100% clarity, open book here, wearing my heart on my sleeve. I know that this is how I see Jesus. I confess that. I know what my opinions are. I know what my theology is. I know what I believe about Scripture. And I think I'm right. And so do you. So we need each other. We need each other to get the fullness of Jesus. We need each other to get the whole picture of Jesus. We need each other to be reminded that Jesus himself is the answer. Not me, not just you, but together. That we would get the vision that Jesus has for your life and for my life. You need an Anna. You need a Simeon. You need somebody else besides yourself. And I hope you find them. That's going to be my prayer for us, is that I would have that person. I do have those people, but we all need those people. And yours may be mine, and mine may be yours, or it may be totally different, okay? And so I just want us to pray for that right now. And you may know who that person is. And you need to be that for somebody, by the way. And I'm just going to say this, not in a flippant way, not even to be funny. It's not always good for your spouse to be that person. It's not always good for your boyfriend or your girlfriend to be that person, right? Sometimes we need somebody that's a little more objective. Somebody, we need somebody outside the walls of our life to help us do that, to walk in and to confirm something, to be the witness, to be who Christ has called us to be. Lord, that's my prayer. We need it. I need it. My goodness. I know you say, blessed are the feet of those who preach. But Lord, if you ever let me walk alone, I will walk astray. I will get off the path. Lord, and I thank you for those that you have surrounded me with. And I thank you for the new ones that you have surrounded me with. Lord, I thank you for each and every person that's here today. Maybe their very first time to walk in the door. And Lord, I pray that you gave them a word directly from you today to change their life. Lord, it may not be a radical change. It may be a small change. But Lord, that they would be transformed. Each and every one of us, if we've been here 30 years or if we've been here 30 minutes, Lord, I pray that we would be transformed. Lord, soften our hearts to hear from Anna. Soften our hearts to hear from Simeon. Lord, soften our hearts to hear from your Holy Spirit. Lord, that we would follow you. Because, Lord, it's not about us. It's about you. And it's about everyone that doesn't know you as well. So, Lord, don't let us get in the way. Let us follow your way. and let us bring people with us. Lord, we love you, and we give you thanks and praise today. It's in Jesus' name I make my prayer. It's in his powerful name. All the people said, amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, that one that we just sang about, God, that you would pour your Spirit out upon each and every one of us. Lord, that we would be shocked and amazed at what you're doing in our lives. Lord, the new revelation, Father, the new understanding, Father, the new people you put into our lives to complete your picture of the kingdom. Father, let it be so for all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hope to see y'all tonight.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.